Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
Hovering on the red dot is a good thing, so let me get back to...
Indeed. Especially if you're going to use that voice, Keith.
Can you say that again? Hovering on the red dot is what? Hovering on the red dot is always a good thing.
Actually, it's pressing on the red dot is better.
Really depends.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I guess it's true. True.
Okay. Well, three of us haven't been together in a while. So,
welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that goes rogue and makes everything sexy again. Thank goodness we have an intro now for this, I think. I don't know. Hi, I'm Gina.
Oh, Lord. Aren't you the CEO of this whole shebang? That's all you got? Hi, I'm Gina.
Don't we have a script?
I threw the scripts out because we go so rogue. So,
well, let me start. My name is Rachel.
Why don't you start?
Yes, I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and realtor turned loan officer with U.S. Mortgage. And
this is Gina Tremarco. I guess now I'm CEO of the Women Your Mother Warned You About. But I also own Carolina Improv and Pivot 10 Results. I will help you shift your people problems to performance results. And that's all.
Hi, I'm Keith Walters. Keith. I am the counterpoint here. And I build great businesses. And get it.
And on the weekends, he does a Barry White impersonation.
Oh.
Strange, ironically enough, tonight I'm swinging into Legends in Concert and Barry White opens the show.
Oh, that's wild.
You're swinging?
Yeah.
What?
You swing into the show. A swing dancer is the substitute.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was thinking something else when I was
swinging.
I'm
sure you were, of course you were thinking of that.
I've had a very naughty mind lately. I don't know what's going on with me. A couple days ago, I talked to Keith and I said, it's all your fault, Keith. We'll just leave it at that.
It's not a bad thing. What? Though,
there's
honestly,
no fault.
I think, you know,
thing.
When I run it, whenever I meet someone who's really uptight and stressed out, I pretty much immediately go, they probably should have some more, like more sex more often, or at least have some. And they probably wouldn't be such a stick in the mud.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, I honestly think that about people.
Well, and Rachel, Gina, we were talking about it yesterday. That gets into that abundance versus scarcity mindset. Abundance is great.
Okay, don't go there.
Abundance is great.
Abundance is great. Now that we've all repeated it. Maybe that should be the theme of the show.
Abundance
is great.
That's a great theme. We all make our own abundance. Well, so, and
I definitely could talk about abundance for a while, for sure. Especially when people, you know, addressing those that live in the scarcity mentality, the abundance thing is way more successful.
I like the abundance theme, and we can weave in everything else going on. Because I really want to talk about Keith's Costa Rica trip. Why do you laugh at that every time we bring it up? Like, it sounds like something.
Oh, nothing devilish went on. It was actually the longest time I've ever been away, a month, and it was total relaxation, total separation from reality of our world. So it was great. I experimented with a lot of new things.
You know what? I think he was actually experimenting on the last recording. Do you remember? Do you remember, Rachel? We're like, look at his face.
Well, he admitted it. He had been experimenting with some sort of mood enhancement. I mean, it wasn't like it was some sort of mood enhancement thing that was not completely extreme. It was just making you smile.
Yeah,
that
was actually a chocolate derivative. It was actually raw cacao is what it was that morning. And it has a chemical in it called theobromine, which really can make you smile. Yeah. Which
can I order that on Amazon?
Yeah, you can order actually raw cacao.
Well, I've ordered raw cacao and I always want to go cacao.
Yeah, order raw cacao and then grind some up and put it in some hot water and make kind of this cacao.
And it's got this theobromine.
Yeah, as long as it's raw, when they roast cacao, it actually the theobromine turns to caffeine.
Okay. Well, tell us briefly, just for fun, what's the name of the place that you were visiting in Costa Rica, and what was the general premise of the experience?
Yeah, so we visited a health retreat in the mountains of the Pacific Mountains of Costa Rica, called Finca de Vida, which means farm of life. And it's run by this couple out of Atlanta, and they started it because they were both suffering some health problems. And it's about a 40-acre remote retreat, has a max capacity of about 14 or 16 guests. It's geared toward budget travelers, which was really interesting. And it's just this absolutely beautiful, totally remote retreat. And it's vegan eating, which was totally new to me and kind of scary, and a lot of meditation and sun worshiping. And as the guy who Brian of Brian and Jody, who own it, always makes fun of what they do, calls it hippy dippy woo woo stuff, and it's a little bit of that. But it was absolutely fantastic. You know, went for 3 weeks without wearing shoes most of the time, connecting to the earth.
Connecting to the earth.
Grounding at 9.7 megahertz. And then, you know, incredible food. I'd never eaten vegan before. They had three people that worked there. One of them was this young Italian lady who was the chef, a former sommelier who decided to check out. Her name is Sophia, and the most amazing vegan chef. The food was just incredible. So I ate and ate and ate and dropped some weight that I didn't need to drop, and just had a great time, very relaxed.
What was the thing that got you to take this trip?
Well, I went with a friend of mine, and she had been there before. For a health reason, she had had some pretty serious stomach-related illness, and so she needed to get away and kind of change her diet and then address some other things going on in her life at the time, some marriage things. And so she went there a couple of years ago for 5 weeks and just really loved it, fell in love with the place, and then really got to know the owners really well. And she had been talking to me about it, and it was just, you know, I've always wanted to go to Costa Rica. I've been there, but really wanted to go and spend some more time. So it was just a great place to go. This place is a healthy retreat. A number of people there are addressing health problems, and that wasn't really what we went for, but just turned out well. And then spent a week on the other side of Costa Rica at the end of the road, close to Panama, in a little beach town. So it was wild. Very relaxing. Putting things into perspective.
Costa Rica is the best. Yeah. It's so relaxing anyways. It's such a great country. And it sounds like I would love to do. I've been looking like for the past couple of years in a row of like trying to get away to do something like that. There's a silent retreat that I've been looking at where you practice silence for a few days. It's just where I'm at in the growth pattern of my business life. It's hard for me to take that time away. However, some successful entrepreneurs and business people and success leaders would argue that you need that. You need that disconnect to recharge. So it sounds like fantastic to me, as well as the fact that I know with my own health issues that I struggle with, that I've done it before, and people really, some people that, because I love steak, I love me some steak. So people that love to eat like that will sometimes look down on a vegan diet. But I've done it also a few times where I take about a month and go complete vegan. And really, it's just about giving your system a break from all the work that has to be done to digest meat proteins. And boy, do you feel amazing after you really give your system a break, don't you?
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And I cheated a little bit on the vegan diet while there. I mean, there was once a week trip into the, what they call the local hippie market, and get some falafel and some eggs or something, while there. And that's all fine.
Keith was smuggling in contraband.
I didn't smuggle in contraband. I did walk 2 miles down 1,000 vertical feet to get a beer. And what was so funny, that was, and then that was one beer during 3 weeks. And then a later trip to the beach, I got another beer, but I could only make it about halfway through the beer before I was looped because both from cleaning everything out of your system and from not having any, any alcohol, it was really interesting. I think it's a great, I couldn't do vegan. I need too much protein. And too many calories. I burn so many, but I think it's a great, break, like Rachel said, to reset your body.
You know, Rachel, you and I had talked about doing that silent retreat.
I know it's sitting in my inbox. I'm going to do it one day when it works out. I was going to go last January, and then I was just caught up in wedding planning, and it's sitting in my inbox. I would love to be able to do it. It's very circumstantial at this time in my life with children and work life, as I mentioned. But I really would like to do that someday. I think, well, for me, like, I never shut the fuck up. So, like, to have a few days of silent commitment to silence, I think would be profound. I've always wanted to do it.
I don't think we could really go together. I mean, we could, but we probably not share a space. I don't know if we could stay silent.
I agree with that, because I mean, doing stuff like that where you're really trying to disconnect and go inwards, it's hard to have somebody that you resonate with so much, or you just want to talk. I don't think
we would look,
we'd
at
be
each
like
other
under the covers
up
at night with, like, going, did you have any insights today? Okay, shh.
So the place that I went, there's actually another place just down the road, a couple miles down the road, which is a far piece there, but that does silent retreats. And so
this actual place, they have one in Costa Rica, they do one in Guatemala. I believe,
so actually my friend who I went with, she did two silent retreats during the 3 weeks we were there, which is great because it gave me some silent retreat time as well. So I love that.
I hope you didn't tell her that,
of course,
did you?
Yeah, that's all discussed openly. Yeah. Actually, the first silent retreat I did was during, if you're familiar with something called Outward Bound, years and years and years ago, 48 hours solo in the mountains.
Wow.
With no food, only water. Fasting, a 48-hour fast retreat.
People freak out about that stuff. You know, I have done more than once, I think, let me see, one, two, at least two times, I think three, I've done the Master Cleanse, which if you look it up, it's basically, and it sounds nuts, but it's you get water, lemon juice, grade B, I think it's grade syrup. B, like the pure maple syrup from the tree, and cayenne pepper. And I did it for 10 days. And what's crazy about it is you'd think that your body would freak out, but I have never felt as good as when I did those. Like, your skin, your hair. And then what was most interesting about it is, like, when I did that, like, day three, all you want is pizza. You're like, all you see is like Domino's pizza commercials everywhere. But once you get through that, then you don't have that feeling of what am I going to eat, and you got to make it, and then you got to clean up after it, and then you have that crash later where you're hungry again. You just don't have that anymore. So then your mind is freed up for other pursuits, and it's quite profound. I think the Master Cleanse, for people with major, major health issues, they'll do it for like 40 days. But it takes some mental strength, that's for sure, because it's hardcore on your mind. But I did it. The second time I did it, I was doing a show at Caesars Atlantic City, so I was not running out of energy either. I was doing a show, maybe two shows a night while I did it. Craziness.
I think there is a lot of misconception and misunderstanding around it. I've intermittent fasted where it's 24 hours. I probably could handle 48. 24 is not so hard. Or the juice cleanse, and all you're doing is juice for 3 days.
It's all mental.
And you're thinking about pizza.
Yeah.
It is all completely mental. Like by day two on a juice cleanse, I'm like, I'm a little high. And by day three, I'm really euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, I could just keep doing this. Why eat?
Yep. Well, the other thing about it is if you look back, and especially I'm so into Dave Asprey's stuff right now with biohacking. And when you think about humans in caveman times, which I always go back to the caveman times because that's really the foundation, like they would eat and then it might be a while before they ate again. Like, and so that's why the intermittent fasting thing is so powerful, because that's how humans actually are made. We're fucking spoiled, rotten, disgusting, gluttonous humans in the United States that we just think that we should be having a huge giant meal every couple hours. It's just not so. It's not how humans were created. We are not meant to carry, you know, that much excess weight that we all, you know, a lot of us carry around. It's just not meant to be. We're meant to run from things and save our hides and survive, you know.
You know, I think more of us would lose more weight if we had dinosaurs chasing us.
For sure. Well, or
that
not.
That could be a whole new business idea.
Or not. Or the dinosaur would get your ass.
Keith loves when I have big ideas.
I'm not sure about that one.
Well, you know what? You could hire some people to wear those Tyrannosaurus Rex outfits to chase.
Yeah, see? It's a whole new diet craze. I think it would work.
Well, the bottom line is it takes mental strength to do some extreme things, you know, that if you really want to change. And that's the thing. I actually did an Instagram post related to this morning that was like, you know, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you, is the quote. And people love to be like, I'm just not losing weight. And sometimes it's a hormonal thing, but a lot of times it's just what you're shoving down your face, and people aren't really actually willing to admit, what are you eating? What are you drinking? Even more importantly, because I had a lot of people when I was training them, they'd rather give up sex, air, and sleep before they'd give up their alcohol. And that's like a big waste of calories. You got to get realistic about it.
Don't give up sex. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, I had women tell me that. Well, I'd rather give up sex, air, and sleep before I give up my white wine. I'd be like, all right, well, then your ass will be big for a while. It's your choice. It's all about choices.
Hey, Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look. And sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face, but they can't really tell, because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client, and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrafacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444
or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the Women Your Mother Warned You About sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
I want to ask Keith this. Did you come back? Well, first of all, did you do any work while you were in Costa Rica?
Well, I podcasted. Is that work?
Anything yes. aside from podcasting?
Aside from your executive producer duties.
I did not do a lot of work. I had to keep up with a few client needs, but I pushed off most of the work-related things until I got back.
Did you plan ahead in that capacity? Like, hey, everybody, I'll be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I planned ahead and then set up things post. And then if there were a few emergencies or, you know, not emergencies, but, you know, short-term things, calls that came up. But yeah, for the most part, I disconnected. It was purposeful.
And when you came back, did you find you had a different energy or a different momentum? Like, was there something different going back into the world and business as a result?
Yeah, I think anytime you take a really disconnected vacation or getaway, when you come back, you have a different perspective about what is important. You know, one of the things that the trip ended with a little over a week on the Caribbean side in a little cabin on the beach that just turned out to be gorgeous on a gorgeous property 40 yards off the beach. And, you know, I think I told you, I think I paid 60 or 70 bucks a night to stay in this place. And, you know, it was full kitchen and a king size bed and a bathroom, but it was a little cabin, on an acre lot, walk right out onto the beach. And then I pinged the folks about, oh, what if I rented it for longer? How much would it cost? And I got them down to $23.75 a night. So, you know, what it kind of puts into perspective is I didn't have a car. I had this old beater bike, a bicycle that we were getting around on, and, you know, just go to the grocery or the market and get what you need. And it's a different perspective. It's a very fun, fulfilling time, but you don't need all the other shit that we carry around. And so that's a different, you know, coming back, that's a different perspective about what's important and what's not important.
Did you change anything about your life or lifestyle as a result of different perspective?
I don't know that I did, because I already lead a fairly relaxed life. Like, I'm so grateful. But it did. It gets back to a little bit of the health and the cleanse and all those things. After going through the vegan diet for a while, and there were people doing Master Cleanse and Fruit Cleanse and so forth there as well, it resets your brain a little bit. And I think Dave Asprey talks a little bit about this in Game Changers. It resets your brain and your body. And one of the big things you lose is your sugar addiction. If you're away from processed sugars for a while, and that sugar addiction actually drives a lot of the cravings that we have for food. And what's really interesting is, and I experienced this yesterday, I was going to go out and get a pizza, and it's like, and I stopped at Natural Grocers and I ended up just getting something healthy, and the pizza was there, but it's like, I'll just not do the pizza, which for me is a big deal, not doing pizza. So it changes the physical drives and cravings coming from your body. It helps you then be more in control of what you're ingesting. And that was the biggest thing that came out of it for me.
Love it. No more pizza.
No, actually, not as much.
Less pizza.
Less pizza.
Makes me want to
master cleanse. Less pizza, less desserts.
So it's a really interesting experience.
Yeah.
Especially, and I'm bad with sugar, admittedly. Like, I'm really, really bad with sugar. It's hard. And like, we just went through a big storm here in our area. And I was amazed by the fact that sometimes if I'm busy in my normal work-life flow, I'll forget to eat and I'll go like way too long between times that I eat. But good Lord, I could barely go like 5 minutes without eating something during the hurricane. I'd be like, I think I'll just have one more cookie. Like, it's
just stress eating.
Literally like 5 or 10 minutes was about my
bored
max.
Eating. It, you know, all the memes, like, you know, about hurrication of like, don't eat all your hurricane snacks before you're waiting so long. You start eating your hurricane snacks because you have all this food just in case.
Last night,
God forbid.
Now that the storm was passed, last night Felix and I sat down to watch a movie, and I looked at him and I'm like, "We don't have any cookies, ice cream, or pistachios, which is like what we will eat when we watch a movie." We ate them all. There was nothing. And I ate pretty much all of the first two because I don't eat ice cream and dairy.
I'm referring to it as hashtag hurricane weight.
Yeah. You know, there should be a marked spike in all of the gym memberships and activity, like people on treadmills.
How much weight did you gain waiting for the hurricane that never came? I mean, just saying.
Hey, dude, it was a little gnarly up here at 4 a.m. or 4:45.
Yeah, that's when the winds came
well,
in.
Well, Wednesday
yeah.
morning, there was a tornado that was literally...
Oh, yeah, right by you.
It was less than a half mile away from us. And I woke up... And it sounded literally, because you're, you know, tired. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, you're asleep. And I woke up and I was like, what in the world? It sounds, I was like, is that the wind or the rain? Like, it was literally the sound of a freight train. And we didn't realize until, like, we were laying there listening to it going, goodness gracious. And Felix busted out Facebook and there was a meteorologist live talking about the fact that there's a tornado. And we was like, wait a second, that's right there. Like really close. So we were grateful that it didn't come any closer, but it was for some scary stuff. Spooky. More not scary as much as like spooky.
A lot of stress involved in that kind of potential natural disaster stuff. Like people who live in snow areas were saying, oh, you know, I would prefer snow all day long. I'm like, I kind of would too. It's the tension of waiting for something so unpredictable, like sort of predictable, but not predictable, right? Like just like after a while you have to turn off the media because it's like, no, this is the biggest storm ever in time. And it is going to be disastrous. And it's like with every year and every storm it gets more scary that mm-hmm. you're sitting there going, is it gonna hit us, is it not gonna hit us? That we were exhausted. I stayed with a friend and we were exhausted the day after, and it's not like we did anything. We were emotionally wiped out from the tension of waiting.
Yeah, because when that tornado thing happened with us, that was at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I was awake, and then we were supposed to get the worst of it later in the day. So then you're like anticipating is what's going to happen. Yeah. And you don't know. And everything, like there was, everybody makes it look worse on Facebook than it actually is. So like down in Pawleys Island, you know, they're like, this and that is happening. So you're waiting for it to show up where we are. It's just nasty. And I think the media has very much overblown it to try to scare us, so that really, actually, I think the statistic was like only 15% of local people left during this one, because we've all, and this is the first time I've stayed for a while, for one, because they scare the shit out of us and we all leave. And this time we're like, nothing happened last year, so I'm just going to stick around, you know, which can become dangerous.
Which so many of us did. Yeah.
A lot more people this time stayed because last year we hurricaned. We did evacuated, yeah. Or whatever. We evacuated and nothing happened. So it becomes a little bit dangerous for when, if something like Hugo actually does hit and people are kind of jaded and they don't leave because they're like, nothing ever happens when you all say, oh, it is supposed to be the worst one ever, right?
Oh. Hurricane that cried wolf.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very real threat because the Bahamas, you know, what they're experiencing down there, or allegedly, you know, is it really as bad as we're being told by the media? I don't know. You know, or are they just showing us all the footage that you see is one section that's devastated and it sounds like it's horrible. But when you put your feet on the ground, what's it really like? You know, what's the real story? And then compare that to all of us that are pissed that we don't have cable. You know, people have nothing left and we're like, does anybody know if AT&T's tower is down because my cell phone's not working? They post on Facebook. They like went to the local, you know, somewhere local so they could get on a computer to post, hey, is something, is AT&T down?
again, about perspective. You know, the thing I found really interesting with this whole, if anybody, I mean, it was on national news. If anyone paid attention to the stupid red Jeep and hashtag Jeep Watch and the moron that drove the Jeep on the beach and it stayed there and it became like a tourist attraction during the hurricane to the point where the police had to give tickets to people to stay away from this Jeep on the beach. What I found interesting about that is it became such a conversation on Facebook. I started to feel like we were all living in the Breakfast Club and we were in detention together, in a virtual detention with all these different types of people, right? People that we might not even get along with on Facebook. And we're all hanging out on Facebook like we're in detention and we're talking about this stupid fucking red Jeep. And everybody is talking about the red Jeep. And then a friend of ours starts making all these memes, voiceover friend of ours. He starts making all these memes, taking water-related movies and then putting the red Jeep in every one of those so that they go viral. And this became such a conversation. But my perspective on it is, for once, we all came together, like all these different, you know, the cheerleader, the jock, like think about the Breakfast Club personalities. We all came together to talk about the red fucking Jeep so that we weren't talking about the hurricane anymore. Because of the negativity that the media is putting on us, let's talk about this stupid red Jeep.
Well, the hurricane or the politics or everything else that just drives just negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Legends in Concert missed out on an opportunity to get that red Jeep towed over and stick it in front of the theater like the Blues Brothers car.
Yes.
I bet it's going. I mean, here's the question. Is it going to be like worth nothing, or are people going to start a bidding war on getting this hold of this red Jeep to display it in different places? You know what I mean?
The owner is smart.
Exactly. If the owner is smart, he will capitalize on it. But so far, he's not revealed his identity.
Yeah. They know who it is. The owner said it's totaled, and they took it to the Jeep dealer. It's at the Jeep dealer right now.
Oh, we could go get a picture.
Yeah, CNN interviewed. Yeah.
What's that, Keith?
I just pulled up an article. It looks like CNN interviewed the Jeep owner. Yeah.
He needs to just like get a mask, some kind of like mask, and then start making appearances, but he could still stay unidentified, like the Lone Ranger. That's what I would do.
But again, if you look at human behavior, we got so obsessed with this story. And some people were like, why are we getting so obsessed with this stupid story? But again, it's like you need that distraction from all the noise going on around you. I mean, you know when they towed it away, that some guy came out to play Amazing Grace on bagpipes as they were towing it away. I mean, this is insane.
Well, it's comic relief. And, you know, honestly, and I don't really get, aside from the scary tornado, like I don't get too sketched out by the storms because I just figure, you know, as long as my family is safe, then it's fine. Like any material possessions that get destroyed, whatever, it's fine. But still doesn't take away from what you mentioned, Gina, about it's stressful. Like, what's going to happen? You know, is it going to flood? Are we going to be out of power? Any second the power could go out. And so the Jeep provides comic relief. You know, everybody likes to laugh no matter what your political, religious, et cetera, beliefs are.
Yeah, everybody came together. That's what I found interesting about it. If we did more of that in the world, what could happen? For once, people weren't bitching about political beliefs, about, there was none of that going on.
Until people started bitching about the red Jeep. I saw plenty of bitching posts of like, if one more person posts about the red Jeep, I'm quitting Facebook.
Good. Move to Canada.
Bye. That means you're not fun at all.
That means you have a scarcity mindset.
Yeah. You know, and so this hurricane thing is sort of like we kind of had to be on our own retreat, getting back to whatever this theme is, right? So you retreat to Costa Rica, you retreat in a hurricane, kind of. You have to find things to do with your time. I found myself going, okay, the power's going to go out at 4 o'clock. That's when the eye goes by. I have until 4 p.m. to get all my work done. And I mean, I hustled. I think at one point Rachel's like, I'm getting all these emails from you. So I was scheduling, like, I got so many guests scheduled for this show, and like,
well, it helps you prioritize, right? If you have that, just like, okay, yeah, this is what I got to get done. The rest of this is not that important.
I might be out of commission for days because we will be without power and the world will end, and I need to get all this done now.
I just came up with a whole new business and business plan.
So did I.
But I also used it as an opportunity because, right, you know, when there's a hurricane, first of all, there's no mortgages closing and there's no real estate deals closing because the courthouse is closed and nobody's doing anything because we're worried about the property being destroyed. So then what do you do if you're in real estate and there's a hurricane? Well, there is still something you can do. I created a graphic that I shamelessly ripped off of you, Gina, and Canva.
What did you rip off of me?
The hurricane season thing. And I just came up with a graphic that basically wished for you and your family to safely come through the hurricane. Call me if you need me. And sent that to every single person in my database.
Brilliant.
Not that, and yes, it is a marketing thing. It was on purpose because my logo was on there. But it's a touch point. And also it's genuinely, the way that I see the world is genuinely sending out love and care into the universe. I do care about all these people and I do care about their safety. Yeah. And putting that out into the world actually creates positive energy and abundance in my life rather than just worrying about my own things and my own shit. But really, honestly, if any single one of those people responded and said, hey, I need your help, I'd go and help them. So it was also something for me to do with my time, since, you know, I was like stir crazy of how can I keep my ball moving down the field in business, even though this is all going on. So there's always a way to use something for positive communication with people and reaching out. Hey, are you guys leaving? Are you guys staying? You know, that's, people love to talk about that around here. Like, what are you going to do? And then they'll talk all day.
Well, you know, toward that point, like a forced retreat, like you just did, or a planned retreat or a vacation where you get away, you know, your brainwave pattern changes some because you can't focus on what you're normally doing. And so that's when big ideas can come. That's when a change of pattern. If you're always doing the same thing all the time, you're not going to see and you're not going to reflect or have these different ideas come to you. So that can be some of the most creative time. And I think people ought to plan for it. You know, one of the things back in a former business, we were looking at buying other businesses. And one of the conversations I'd always try to get into with the owner of the businesses that we were looking at was just a kind of a casual, you know, after we do the real kind of formal business questioning and let's go out for a drink and let's dinner and let's just have some chat. And I'd try to steer the chat toward vacations. And I'd always try to get to the conversation about learning about the last vacation that the owner CEO took. And some owner CEOs would talk about, oh, you know, I never get a chance to take vacation. It's always so busy. And some owner CEOs would talk about, well, I go on vacation, but I'm on the phone all the time. And then some owner CEOs talk about going on vacation, totally escaping and disconnecting and then coming back. And we would not look at buying businesses where the owner CEO couldn't get away. Because in a business where the owner CEO can't get away means you don't have systems, you don't have people you trust, you're running the business instead of the business running through just good process. And it's an indication of a poorly run business.
That's a great nugget right there.
Yeah. So, you know, I think those owner CEOs who are getting away, when they're on vacation, they're coming up with these ideas when they come back that just then can make fundamental changes to the business and step it forward. So, and Dave, you know, you mentioned Dave Asprey, Rachel, that book Game Changers. If you is that the book you're referring to, and his other books, but, and his podcast Bulletproof, but he gets into this some as well. He's just got so many great ideas in there, but you've got to step away. And sometimes life is going to force you to step away, like it does with a hurricane.
Well, it's a very American capitalist kind of mentality. And Dave Asprey talks about this in his book some too, with I think Arianna Huffington. She talks about this, the people of the mindset that you need to work yourself to the point of death with, you know, giving up sleep and life to get to be successful. And you take people in Europe and even I believe in Canada where they take, it's a 2-week vacation that they take at least annually. And it's expected. It's expected to take time away. And how many people do you and I know that never go anywhere? Like, I love to travel. That's where my money goes. When I make money, I plan travel. I like to go places and experience things. That's what I dig. And for that reason, because I like my creative mind to be stimulated. But there's a lot of people in the world that can't remember the last time they got away. Can't remember, you know, ever having a big vacation and thinking that that's unattainable to them, which is absolutely not true. It's able, anybody out there is able to do that. Cause I went on vacation even still when I was not making very much money. Money likes direction. Just figure out where your money's going if you want to travel.
So you're signing up for that silent retreat is what you're saying.
I didn't say that, but it is in my inbox. It's on my radar. I already have two other vacations planned as well. It depends on a couple of major factors. And the main reason is, you know, can I do that one as well? It's a matter of if I want to. That's
going to help myself.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's sitting in my inbox for me to decide if it's in the cards. There's a couple of major things about to happen that'll decide if I can or not.
So as we wrap up this rogue episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About, one question I would have for both of you, suggestions for our listeners. So if you can't go to Costa Rica and you don't feel like hurricaning, you know, who really wants to hurricane? What are some other things that people can do to create that escape retreat opportunity for themselves to re-energize, recharge? Thoughts?
You can put yourself on your own silent retreat. I mean, this would be a great challenge to give to myself is turn off your phone for a day or a weekend and set up. If you can't afford to go somewhere, stay home, do a staycation and turn off your phone for the weekend and, you know, do more nurturing things for yourself and your family.
And for someone who's going to say, but Rachel, you don't understand. I have kids and I can't stay home and do that. My husband's going to do this and da, 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 da. Find a friend. Like, hey, can I hang out at your place for the weekend? Keith? Keith's always like, he always looks like the cat that swallowed the canary. And you like don't know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Or do your silent retreat with, or your technology free retreat with your kids and learn something
better
about them.
I like that.
Take their technology away. But I think, yeah, it's not about the money. It doesn't cost that much. I think getting away from your place, I think, is important. Turn off all the technology and just see what happens. Get out and explore. We're blessed to live in a country where it's so easy to move about and you can get places fairly easily. Parks, state parks all over the place, you know, go camping, you know, you may hate it. Just go find a cheap hotel somewhere and get away. It doesn't have to be great. I used to do a lot of rock climbing, and in the rock climbing community, there are real rock climbers. And if you've watched, what's his name? Alex, he had the movie out recently, Free Solo, and it shows a bit of it, but the real rock climbers are out there and they're living out of the car and just kind of, you know, drifting around, and that's called dirt bagging. And basically dirt bagging is where you just head out and you live off of what you can. And, So it was really fun. Back when I used to climb, I had means to get hotel rooms or, you know, eat good meals or whatever. But instead, you just hang out in dirt bag and you learn what little you really need in order to enjoy yourself. And then I love being in the mountains and on the rocks, and that's so mind freeing. And oftentimes when I'm out in the mountains and the rocks, technology is available, cell signals, but I tell everybody it's not. So, and then I turn my phone off, except for the camera.
There we go.
But you know, it doesn't take a lot. You don't have to go to a $1,000 a night retreat.
Locally,
place to get away.
The Grand Strand, there's a place called the Mare, I don't know if I'm pronouncing
Mare Baba.
Mare Baba, his spiritual center is right there. I don't believe it costs you anything to get in. Maybe a donation, but it's right there, and it's a peaceful
place. You have to know a member to get you in, but they will. It's so easy to make that happen. And they have cabins there, and you can actually retreat there really inexpensively. That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that.
I've been checking it out, actually, because somebody sent it to me the other day when I posted something about peace and quiet, and they sent it to me.
I bet Peter did.
He did. That was him.
Oh, it was Peter, wasn't it?
The other thing is, lastly, going back to Keith's experience in Costa Rica, if you're feeling out of sorts in any way, there's a good chance, because your gut is connected so much to your brain, that what you're putting into your body could be affecting your emotional and mental state. So maybe consider a juice cleanse. You could talk to our great friend Leslie at Be Well Meals to do a juice cleanse, or you could put yourself on a master cleanse, or you could just take some time to eat better. It makes such a huge, huge difference. We want to make a difference in the size of our butt sometimes, but a lot of times it makes a huge, huge difference in your mental state as well.
Yeah, because you're changing your chemicals in your body, and that changes. That's going to rewire your brain right there. The one thing I want to add, because you guys have taken all my ideas. I'm just kidding. The one thing I want to add, this came up previously, you know, the comment, Rachel, you made about challenge. If there's no challenge, there's no change. I think we talked a little bit about doing things that scare us, like having to eat only vegan meals when you're a meat eater, right? You're doing things that are a little bit out of your norm, and you're changing. If you change some of the pattern of what you do, even if you can't retreat, just making a simple change or doing something that scares you rewires you and opens your brain. Like, I'm doing this, by the time this airs, I will have already been in prison in Indiana with our previous guest, Michelle Sirocco. So I'm going to put it out there. I mean, I will have already done this when this episode comes out, but I'm scared as shit. I'm a little scared to go.
That's great.
My paperwork, you know, because you have to do all this background stuff, and then they send you like all this like stuff you need to know, and you know, and what not to bring in and what to leave in your car and lock things away. And then I start reading articles about how to bring in prov into prisons, and I'm reading all these stories about they give you a device in case someone jumps you, and I'm like, what did I just sign up to do?
Because you're teaching.
Yes.
A class inside the prison, right?
I'm teaching. Not just visiting. Yeah. Women. I will be in like a general population with 100 women.
You need to learn how to say gen pop.
Yeah. So I'm scared. So the point is, I'm happy that I'm scared, because I haven't done anything that scary lately. I've been complacent on taking more risks.
I think a lot of people get there, not willing to, or denigrate things that, like, I could have looked at this retreat and it's vegan and gone, okay, I don't do vegan.
I'll argue
right now, I don't think vegan is the healthiest diet long term. But how can I argue that if I've never experienced it? So at the very least, I had to go experience it. And even if I expected to hate it, I needed to go experience it. So I kind of knew what it was about.
Open yourself up to the things that, you know, you're not comfortable doing, or you really truly believe are not things you can or want to do, and do it anyway. That's my tidbit for you. So it's time to what?
Good luck, Gina. Good luck. Take a shank.
You notice I'm not commenting on that, and that's because I can't go somewhere like that because they might not let me leave.
They might not let me leave. I don't know.
I'd be afraid they might see into my soul and be like, you know what? You need to stick around, kiddo.
You need to stay here for a while. So I'm sure there will be an episode about my experience.
I think that sounds great.
That'll be a good episode. So it's time to wrap up this show that was about retreating. I think that's the theme we came up with on this rogue episode. Does that sound right? I don't know. Maybe Doug will come up with something creative for us. We're going to get ready to hover over the red dot and then push the red dot. Yeah, that is correct. For anybody wondering what the hell we're talking about, it's as much of an innuendo it is, we're talking about our recording system, the red dot. So let's wrap up. Thank you, Warners, for listening to this rogue episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. I'm Gina Tremarco. If you want to know more about me, go to ginatremarco.com. And to learn more about Rachel,
you can find me, Rachel Pitts, all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate. And of course, you can find all of our links to our social media sites on our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Keith, any thoughts?
Keith?
Well, you can find my one social media LinkedIn link at that wonderful website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And connect with me that way. And if you do connect with me that way, let me know that you are connecting because you listen to the show.
And send Keith some vegan recipes because he would love that. All right. Once again, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com to learn more about all of us, the show, see previous episodes. You can also subscribe to our show from the website. And go to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. We would so much appreciate that. We read reviews on the show. We're a little bit backlogged. I keep forgetting to pull them up, but you will hear more reviews soon. Backlogged, not a good word. Okay. So anyway, that's it. We're out of here.
Sayonara.
Say goodbye.
Bye, Keith.
Goodbye.
Bye, ladies.
Hit the red dot.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.